Here's a sneak peek of our episode.
What have you learned about yourself from starting your business?
Like, hey, actually, I'm not ready yet to meet some weirdo. So it's just completely normal until someone acknowledged, actually, no, it's not normal. Mm-hmm. I don't need the paper and the ring to call a person that special, mm-hmm. my husband.
Mm-hmm. Learners, and I feel like in Portugal, people are so friendly, but maybe from your perspective, could be different.
Moments of my life where I confront a Portuguese person and it's very different reaction than I would expect. Without this community, I will not meet friends. So you have to see that this is meant for you. Me working alone is one thing, but me working with my husband is another thing. I don't know if you're against this, but...
Welcome to From Lisbon with Love, a podcast about real stories of love, laughter, and life in Lisbon. From women who have left it all behind.
The podcast where we share real stories about moving to Lisbon, starting over, and figuring life out along the way.
We talk love, dating, friendships, breakups, healing, growing, all of it.
Basically, the stuff we usually talk about over coffee or vino.
If you're thinking about moving abroad, already here, or just love honest conversations with heart, you're in the right place.
This is From Lisbon with Love. Hey guys, and welcome back. I'm Anna Sherina.
And I'm April Betts.
And this is From Lisbon with Love. In today's episode, we're going to talk about community building and about finding like-minded people in a new place with our special guest, Jan. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Jan is the founder of Nomad Girls Club, and that's a club in Lisbon that helps women that are new in the city to create connections, find like-minded people, and to make new friends.
Uh-huh.
And what's actually funny is that April and I also met through an event of Nomad Girls Club.
Yes, that's how we met, and that's how we started this podcast.
Yes!
Because we met at the event, so we would like to welcome you to Nyang, and... Was there anything more you wanted to add before we get into it?
No, we just want to ask Nyan if she can tell a little bit more about herself. And we're going to make it a little different this time because we want to challenge you to introduce yourself without mentioning what you do for a living. So who is Nyan?
Mm. Well, that's a good question. Yeah. And I like it because usually when you introduce yourself, you always use a role, a title, which is the thing that I don't like that much, weirdly, because what you do is much bigger than just a title. And titles are made for me for job, you know, mm-hmm. like in a company. So what I do, what is Nyan, I'm a community builder in my heart. Since I'm a little kid, because what I do is always for other people. And I didn't know this until my husband told me that actually this is a skill, what you're doing. And I thought that this is my roots as Asian, caring for other people or cooking for people, bringing people together, gathering. I thought that was like just normal, you know, like sometimes you have some skills that you think, well, I think it's just completely normal until someone acknowledged, actually, no, it's not normal. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. It's you can actually do something about it. And like, really? Me? You know, this kind of like time you're like, me doing this? Mm-hmm. But it makes totally sense because now that I look back, I'm like, wow, I'm a community builder. But since I'm young, I'm doing this for other people. And it's like holding space for people. Mm-hmm. So I will say this is, we'll say my soul, we'll say role in life.
Well, tell us a little bit, like, where are you from and how did you end up in Portugal?
I'm born in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh. I moved to Canada when I was 2 years old. Mm. So I'm in a immigrant's parents, but I would say I never felt like, oh, I'm immigrants, I'm less than other people, you know. I grew up in Montreal where it's very international.
I'm curious, do you speak French?
Yes, I speak French. Cool. I speak Quebecer, so this is how
it's
French, but with an accent.
Can you give us a little example?
Oh, no. I think, for example, in Quebec, we say j'ai faim, but French people will say another accent. Was like, I cannot even say how they will say it, you know, because we use like the ain a lot,
okay.
You know? Like you have, for example, German, they speak German, and there's Switzerdeutsch. In Switzerland.
Ah.
So it's a bit
like... Is it like a whole different language or is it just an accent?
Like, it's just an accent.
Okay.
It's like Brazilian Portuguese and European Portuguese.
Exactly. It's a bit like this.
Okay.
So I grew up in Montreal. I think my whole identity is Canadian, I will say, because I don't think I will say I'm very Vietnamese the way that I grew up. But at home, I speak Vietnamese with my parents. Mm. So I still have like... The family values, like, you know, mm-hmm. Vietnamese, we are very family oriented. So.
Oh, I love that. So how many languages do you speak?
Three.
Yeah.
So French, English, and Vietnamese.
Okay.
But English is my third language.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I didn't think that I will even speak English.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, in Montreal, we learn English as a second language.
Mm.
Not like...
as a first. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even though the rest of Canada is all English. But the thing is, we don't use it often.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I can speak it now is because I travel in Chiang Mai in Asia and 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, as everybody, when you travel, you need to speak the language that everyone speaks, which is English.
Yeah.
Except if you're French, then you're just going to speak French everywhere.
That's true. They like convert everybody to French.
Slight shade for
the French.
It's true. That's true.
Okay, nice. So tell us how you got to Portugal.
Well, it's a long story, but I met my husband 10 years ago in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I was living in Montreal. He was living in Berlin. I met him in a temple. Where is very unexpected, and we were in distance for 2 years. I decided to move to Berlin for love, and to see what happened and what this relationship will bring me.
Yeah. So you guys met where you both were on vacation, or were you living there?
Kind of like backpacking.
Oh, okay, backpacking.
Yeah,
okay.
Like I say backpacking because that's like the version where you don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
The hostel life.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand. I did backpacking.
Yeah, because if you say vacation, it's like, oh, luxurious. Yeah, I know. But backpacking is like hostel.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like the young life where you meet people in a hostel. So, yeah, I was backpacking. He was backpacking.
Okay.
I moved to Berlin 2 years after just to see what will happen if I give a chance to this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It works super well. We came here just as a vacation. At that moment, it's vacation.
Oh, okay.
And we both felt like home, you know?
Mm.
Everyone is talking about home. I guess you feel the same, too.
Yeah.
When you feel you come here, there's something in the air that you feel like, wow, I just feel so accepted. I feel so free.
Mm-hmm.
And
Did you come to Portugal how many years ago when you came the first time?
The first time, that was in 2018.
In 2018, okay.
Yeah.
And then that's when you guys, when you first came, you felt like it was home?
Yes.
Okay.
We stay here for like a couple of days. 2019, we stay here for 3 months.
Okay.
And then we came back in 2020 after the pandemic. That's for good.
Okay,
yeah,
nice.
That was like 5 years and a half ago.
Okay, and then I'm curious, did you get married in that between that time? Because you guys are married now, right?
So the thing is,
or
like,
no?
I call him my husband because the feeling is my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the paper and the ring to call a person that special my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not married on paper.
Oh, okay,
but every. For example, if you live with someone more than 2 years and you share apartment, electricity bill, everything, then you're considered as married here. So I came here with the family reunion.
Oh. Wait, really?
Yeah, so I came here. It's the same exact thing. This is a thing people don't know, but maybe now it's changing because 5 years ago, I just have to prove that we live together for 2 years. We share a same bank account. And I went through the process and I got my visa for 5 years.
Wow, I had no idea.
But he's German, right?
Because he has an EU passport.
Right, now I get it.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay, so ladies out there. No.
That's also a way to do
That's also a way. You don't have to get married. You're going to be like, we live together. Okay.
Interesting.
I had no idea. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and then when I got the visa, then we can stay here for 5 years. And okay. We decide to stay here because, well, the situation is quite nice. Mm-hmm. But now my visa is running out, like, next year. So
wait, can you just renew it, or...?
I can, I guess so. I hope so. I mean, right now everyone is talking about renewing an EMA.
Well, because you've been here for 5 years, can't you apply for citizenship?
Maybe, but my Portuguese is very
limited. Well, then you can just go take the class real quick. You can take the A1. I think you have to take the A1 and the A2
in order
to get it. Yeah.
It didn't come into my mind to be a Portuguese yet.
why not? If you want to stay.
Do you not want to stay?
I'm not so sure yet. Not 100% sure because, you know, me and my husband, how we live, we're very going with the flow, you know. Like this year we went to Japan for 2 months and a half and we decide this trip 3 weeks before that. Mm. So you see, we're very spontaneous. We're going with what life gives us and just going how we feel at that moment, you know.
Okay.
It depends the stage what you're in.
Yeah, I'm curious, because you've traveled so much, has another country spoke to you and felt like home since you've moved to Portugal?
I'll say slowly Japan, but weirdly, because it's so different than what I know. But there's some stuff over there that I feel like, I feel very homey.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I will say customer service. It's very important for me. Because I'm Canadian, and we're being nice to each other, like, it's quite a thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And in Japan, it's just in the culture. Greeting everybody, saying thank you. I think they say thank you more than Canadian, right? We have the reputation to say thank you a lot.
Uh-huh.
Over there is like even more than this.
Okay.
So I would say.
But how do you feel it is in Portugal? Because I'm from the Netherlands and I feel like in Portugal people are so friendly, but maybe from your perspective could be different?
Now that I came back from Japan, I have to tell you I have a slight culture shock. Because I see, you know, when you see something different, you cannot unsee it anymore. So when you come back to, you know, to where you belong, I belong here. Then I was like, I see the difference, you know. But of course, depending on your culture, where you're from, right? For example, if you're in an environment where it's very, very chaotic, very violent, you feel it. Here you feel that it's this peaceful, you know. So it always shifts, your perspective shift all the time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And especially by traveling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. I love to your story, the fact that you came to Portugal and you felt like home. And now after 5 years, you went somewhere else and that feels like home. So it's possible that you might end up in Japan.
Maybe. I don't know. For now, Portugal is still like my favorite place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because my flat is quite big.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel like home. Because if you don't have a good flat where you don't have a place where to go when you want to just do your own stuff, you just feel this is not home for me.
That's
even
true.
The country is nice, but if you don't have a nice flat like this, you're like, well, where can I rest? You know, where can I just
feel grounded?
Exactly. Like energize yourself again and go out there and socialize with people. It takes energy and you need a good place where you feel this is my home. You know?
Absolutely.
Not only the country, but the place. Yeah.
Yeah, that can be a struggle. Like in any country, it's like you want to have your safe place, and mm-hmm. some places are extremely hard to find a good apartment. So
yeah,
it can be challenging.
Okay, let's get on to the next one. I'm curious, what do you love most about Lisbon, and what do you hate?
What I like the most, I would say, is how people are so into community. Mm. You know, there's so many events here. People are curious. The type of people that Lisbon attracts mm-hmm. is very close to the type of person that I like. So this is great, and I really like Lisbon for this, because mm-hmm. I lived in Berlin for 2 years, mm-hmm. and I didn't feel the connection that I felt here. Mm. I feel here. Like, I guess because it's, even though it's very international, Berlin and in here, mm-hmm. I think over there is like a huge scene of party, mm. Underground drugs, like. So it's very different here. Like, people are more eager to do something. Our business owner, you know, so you always meet someone. I guess it's my surrounding. I don't know if it's like this all the time, yeah. but this is a big plus. Other than the weather and everything,
yeah, now. Of course,
of course. Like, but this is external factor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the thing that I dislike the most, there's many, many things. I would say it's very slow, everything. Like taking appointments somewhere, a doctor, or mm-hmm. any, I guess, bureaucracy stuff is very long. And this I'm not used to it that much, mm-hmm. that they're not that organized.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say Portuguese are not super into confrontation that much,
mm-hmm.
Versus, for example, as a Canadian, when there's something wrong, we just talk about it and then we move on, right?
Yeah.
But I saw many, many events, like moments of my life where I confront a Portuguese person and it's very different reaction than I would expect.
I'm curious. Give us an example.
Yes, I can give you an example.
We're waiting for it.
So the first time I came here as my 3 months in 2019, mm-hmm. we had an Airbnb where the internet didn't work. So in my head, it's just as an Airbnb guest, I'm paying for this as well, the internet, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I call the owner saying, hey, it doesn't work. We're just going to go to a coffee next door. We're just going to share like a coffee. Not even like taking one each a coffee, but sharing coffee. And then if you want, you can pay for us the coffee for €4. And then, you know, because we took the Wi-Fi over there at the coffee shop. He came back home. He was just like, he was super pissed because he was like, oh, I stopped working because you text me about the Wi-Fi, everything like this. And then because I asked him about the... to give us like maybe €4 just a like compensation, you know, for the mm-hmm. the fact that it didn't work. And he's like, no, we never talk about money first. We have to find a solution first. And then money is the last thing that they talk about. And then my husband is German. I'm Canadian. So we work differently. My husband is, this is the most efficient way to solve the situation. We just go to a coffee.
German efficiency.
Yeah. We just go to a coffee. You pay us €4. Everyone is happy. That's it. My Canadian side is, well, I pay already for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, well, if you don't offer this, well, it's just a bit out of the scope. But like, it should not be a big deal, no? I'm paying for what I'm supposed to have and I don't have it. So you're supposed to give me a discount, actually.
That sounds very American.
Yeah, very Dutch also.
So he didn't take it super well.
He was offended.
Yeah.
But it's like, his fault.
Kinda. I mean, it's the culture, you know? Yeah. Like, you have to find a solution, everything, before talking about money.
Mm.
You know, maybe money is like a bit more sensitive.
Yeah, that's true.
So what was his solution?
he didn't have it. He just he was just waiting for the guy to come to fix the internet and so on. So he didn't compensate us, neither give us a discount.
Mm. I'm curious, how long was the internet out for?
I don't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. But after this, like, because he was a bit like agitated, mm-hmm. and my husband was like, hey, Sergio, are you okay? Everything okay? We're fine, you know, like, just make him feel like a bit more at ease, because maybe he felt so embarrassed that it didn't work. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to work, and they're panicking, and you know, we're like, no, we're chill. We just went to the coffee, and that's it, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe the situation could be less like dramatic, but mm-hmm. because of the culture clash, where Canadian, German, and Portuguese just entered the place, then it just went bigger than supposed to, you know. So
yeah. All right, interesting one. Yeah. We learned something new about how it goes here with Airbnbs. We talked already a bit about that you went to Lisbon like before you moved. But we're curious, like, did you also meet already some people here, or was it just like totally new, like coming here, knowing no one, building friendships, meeting people? How was it for you?
It was completely new for me. But I have to tell you that in 2019, when I came here for 3 months, I joined a community. I don't know the name anymore. A borderless retreat, but they changed it for Minoma right now. And that was my first community where I joined and I feel welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, I still talk sometime with the founders. I was like, hey, your guy is the first community I joined, and I met so many friends there. Without this community, I will not meet friends. So they were actually giving me the idea of joining a community is the thing that makes you feel a bit more at ease in a country where you have no friends. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into the community building and so on. But the idea came already in my mind, but I'm like, I never saw someone doing it. You know, you see, you need an example of someone who's doing this to you. So then you're like, you are the end product where you feel the effect, the impact mm-hmm. of this person. You're mm-hmm. like, great, that's amazing. Now I can take what they did to me and create something similar, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So when you experience something already, you could replicate it or even do it better than mm-hmm. this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like now in Lisbon, there are so many like communities and clubs. Like, I don't know if that's something like from the last years, or do you think it was already there before COVID?
No, it just popped like recently. Mm-hmm. When I opened Nomad Girls Club, that was in 2024 in March, there was no girls club. It was more women community. And the reason why I said women and girls, why I distinguish it, is because I think women in the community that is focused on women are very more mature, more like business. And we talk about different topics more related to women, cycle or so on. But nothing around like friendship or connection mm-hmm. or nothing around like just like fun activities, you uh-huh. know, that you can do together as friend, simple like this. Mm. In that time when I opened NGC, I didn't see this yet. Now we see it everywhere. Mm. But I think it's like a worldwide movement at the moment. Mm. Like social club, running club, everything that's like club.
Yeah.
Add something, a word, and club.
I mean, it's such a great idea, especially in a place where if you're moving abroad or moving to a new city and you don't know anyone, it's such a great place to meet people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think community actually is the foundation of I would say humanity or like people in general. Think about like when you say community, you could relate, you can say family, my community. Mm-hmm. You could talk about religions. That's my community. You can talk about like where you feel you belong. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's just everywhere. Maybe you will not say this is my community, but like the feeling is exactly the same as a community. And community is about belonging, feeling that someone see you as you are, mm-hmm. and you can just be yourself, you know? That's for me the three criteria of you're part of something, a community. Whether they call each other club or not, a community, it is a community where these, if you feel belonging, seeing, and you be yourself, actually you're part of something.
Mm-hmm. What inspired you to start NGC? And can you take us to, take us and the listeners through the staging process and what it was like starting it?
I think everything that you start in general, it comes from a place where you wish this exists, or you feel there's something missing, or you feel there is like, it's not enough, mm-hmm. that you feel like you will like to see this more. Yeah. I think as a creator, I'm a creator. I felt like this. And this is the first seed that happened. Mm-hmm. I just went to many events. Actually, I was a host for Lisbon Digital Nomad, one of the biggest meetup group here in Lisbon. And one thing that I saw is like, there's a lot of guys, very little women in this True. In this meetup. And it's not about friendship, you know? And it's around alcohol and then drinking. It was like Thursday night drinking, basically. Mm-hmm. So it was never something fun, like where you can really sit down, listen to someone. It's always with music and so on. Mm-hmm. Already I have like some kind of like, this doesn't fit to me, you know, like, and this triggered me to like create something nicer that like closer to my own, what I like. Mm-hmm. So this is one trigger. I would say the second trigger is, I will say for any community building or creator, you need to have a calling to do this. And I felt that the building community, as I said to you, it's meant for me since I'm young, but you have to listen to this. You have to see that this is meant for you. And the calling was there, but because of, you know, as everybody, you have fear, you have imposter syndrome, you have so many things, you will not listen to this calling. And at that moment, I was just like, but yeah, I hear the calling, but what should I do? What should I do? You know? And the best thing to do, and what I did, is listing the frustration that I had. I didn't meet girlfriends as I'm doing right now with NGC. Every event that I go, just guys, you know? if I go to events, networking, talking about your business and so on, which is for me not the topic that I like. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about personal stuff, like, how do you experience something? How do you perceive something, you know? Which is not the place for that, which I understand. So for me, all these points made me create NGC, mm-hmm. right? And I'll say the name is just because I love the word nomad. but any girls club, like having good time, girls time together. And this is how I started.
Was the process difficult for you? Mm-hmm.
Not difficult. I would say, yes, difficult in that moment, mm-hmm. because I was, you know, when you lead something or you create something, you have to embody this. That was very difficult, right? Mm-hmm. But now that I look back 1 year and a half ago, it's not difficult anymore because I am this person. Mm-hmm. I became this person. But in that moment, trying to create or to do something, it was difficult. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that if someone will sign up, not mm-hmm. knowing that if someone will come to the event, you know? Yeah. Like, what if I create an event and no show up, no sign up? How do I feel? I will feel super rejected, right? So that was maybe the difficult part, like surpassing your fear mm-hmm. or this kind of like limiting belief about yourself. Yes, it was difficult in this sense, but it was not difficult once I launched it. Because once I launched it, actually what happened is it was just a movement. People really saw what I was creating in a sense of, hey, cool, I needed this. And without this first founding members, I will not be able to continue. Because that's the first thing that shows me, hey, I want this. Can you do this more often? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I opened it, like, within 3 months. And the size of it, I mean, at that moment, like, it's just completely new for me. But the size of it compared to other community, it feels like if it's been long, like, in the market long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, it's just because people really need this kind of community.
Yeah, it's like you found a gap in the market and you fulfilled it.
Yeah, I will say this. This is a more...
Yeah, but it's hard sometimes to say about your own thing, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, that you found a gap and it's like...
No, but it's like in business. It's like, I that's know, the whole point.
That's hard to say sometimes about your own thing, right?
I don't know what I mean. I didn't see it like a gap, but if you see it more pragmatic way, yes, mm-hmm. I feel a gap. But how I see it, it's not like this. It's more on the spiritual level that, like, this is meant for me to do. And I just did it out of, like, of my heart, you know? You know what I mean? It's not like I saw a gap. I'm like, I'm doing it just for the gap.
But for a business
perspective, that's not what I'm saying. No. But yes, I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
No, but I was just basically saying, because you talked about how when you went to the all men events, there it wasn't about friendship and things like that. So that kind of led you into, but yeah, I guess I said it in a business way.
Yeah. But yeah, we understand. It's like you saw how you didn't want it, and that made you, understand what you wanted, and then you made it.
Yeah, sometimes you need to see the thing that you don't want
exactly
to know what you want.
Yes.
It's very applicable in dating, right? You have to see the bad date to know this is no more of this, please. Mm-hmm. I want this, you know? But if you don't experience the bad thing or the thing that you don't like, you will not know, actually, no, I like the other one, you know? You will think that you will like this, but that's why you try, right? Mm-hmm. That's why you will go to a date and see, mm-hmm. maybe I like this. But actually, no, I don't like it. And the more that you know yourself, the more you say, no, mm-hmm. no this and yes this.
Yeah, we already talked a bit like about the starting process, but can you also share some ups and downs with us from like starting? What was the most challenging? What went well and what was hard? Like,
yeah, for sure. I will say the thing that went really great is the lounge. When I create NGC, it was a movement by itself without me pushing, and that was very helpful. And because social club in general is quite a trend right now, mm-hmm. and the market people in general, they want this, they're seeking for this, that's why it works well. If you take this concept just a couple of years ago, I don't think it will work that well, mm-hmm. because people maybe they're not ready for this. And I would say, as you said, the gap, but the trend, there's a trend for mm-hmm. this as well, right? Mm-hmm. I just hop on the trend, right? Mm-hmm. So that really help. Without you knowing it, you are in the trend and people are, or they mm-hmm. want this, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's all over social media, social club, anything. Mm-hmm. So that's went super well. I'll say the thing that goes very not well as I want is I have another business on the side. I'm a designer. And this has been my job since the last 5 years. And I'm trying to not be a designer anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard because creating events, community, it's not financially a stable thing, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm still juggling between design and this.
Because doing NGC is like your heart and your passion.
Exactly.
And is design, I'm curious, mm-hmm. what type of design?
Web design. So
okay.
Website, oh, okay. A little bit, and like a web shop, oh, okay. and so on. Oh, okay. So yeah, I've been doing this, but I want to do less of this.
Okay.
Because this is more my talents. Mm-hmm. I'm not passionate about this, but I'm good at this. That's different, you know?
Okay.
You know some stuff in life where you're
saying you're not passionate about web design? Or you're not? Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
I'm just talented.
I gotcha.
Yes. You know, when you're very talented, like, you know Ikigai? Have you heard
Ikigai,
of Ikigai? So Ikigai is, it's, you try to aim the middle. And there's like four parts of this, mm-hmm. right? So there's like circle.
Okay.
And then the first circle is like what you love to do, and the second is like what the world needs to you, for you, from you, and the other one's like what people are ready to pay for this, and the other one, I don't know, like what you're, there's like four, but you know, you see the concept where the thing is that you try to aim the middle where people are ready to pay you for this, that you love this, and you're ready to devote yourself to this, you know, like, so all this component
where you're good at, also, right,
you're good at this,
so it has to have like all of it, is that basically what it means?
Exactly.
Okay,
for example, in my case, design is I'm good at this, people are ready to pay me for this,
okay,
so that's just two components, but that's not my passion.
I see. But now it's like with NGC, you can combine your design with NGC.
Yeah, it helped me a lot. Yeah. I have a background in marketing. So
so that's even perfect.
Yeah. That also helps. And do you do all the design yourself, like social media and everything?
Yeah, yeah. So it really helped design in in marketing.
It's like everything had to happen in order for you to get to where you are now.
Yeah.
Because now you have all of those like back... I don't know what's the word I'm thinking of.
I understand, No, I believe this is like this in life. When you're ready to do something, you achieve already, you gather all the experiences for you to make this happen, you know? And I will not say NGC is the last thing I will do in my life. I will do many other things, but I need NGC to start this process, my next process that I don't know yet what would that be, you know?
But as of right now, you're saying that NGC has all the four components?
For now, yes. It has the four component.
Okay.
But I am thinking already about my second community because I want to build communities. That's my goal.
Yeah. And you're already expanding, right? Because I also read something about Barcelona.
Yeah, I try to do it in Barcelona, but because I'm not physically there, I saw that this is a weakness, I'll say. But when I was in Tokyo, I opened NGC and it worked super well. So I see that like my present, you need someone very passionate about the project.
Yeah, but it seems difficult, like combining also traveling with like running the community here and like opening in different places. How do you do it here, for example, if you are away?
So when I was away, I had some host that replaced me and some people that I trust that they will do a good job, you know. I don't select like random people because I know that like it's important that to have someone that really passionate about people and caring, you know. So that helped a lot when I was in Tokyo. But I would say if I have to open a new chapter somewhere else, I will need to be there physically just to set a certain tone and value. And I do believe that like everything that you create comes from the founder, you know? It has like, it's kind of a extension of me. So I need to be there to really spread the extension of me, then find someone who can carry this afterwards.
Carry the torch.
Exactly.
Nice. What have you learned about yourself from starting your business?
I would say that me working alone is one thing, but me working with my husband is another thing. I work with my husband for the last 5 years in the design business, and I have to say it was amazing. And this past year, 1 year and a half, we had to split a little bit what we want to do in life because community building is my passion. My husband is an artist. So in that moment, we split a little bit like what we're, like our job, we'll say. And now we're trying to build something together again. And I'll say this is the big lesson for me because doing things alone, I'm not used to it. You know, I'm always like trying to partner with someone. I'm always trying to find a co-founder. And actually, a very funny thing, before opening NGC, the idea of NGC was created by me and another friend of mine. And I will not say she's a co-founder because she left me afterwards. But I always had the tendency to partner with people because I believe in the the power of the dynamic, you know, like you two, right? It's mm-hmm. like you do one thing, I do another thing, this is my skill, like, so you bring in on the table different skill set, and that's for me the beautiful thing about collaboration, and I do believe in collaboration. Before opening NGC, launching NGC, I tried to partner with many people to open a business, open this, but it didn't work because I just understood that I need to create this experience for myself, and I need to be the front face of the company or whatever, the community that I'm building. Because mm-hmm. like the combo that I'm trying to create all the time is this person will be the face and going to be the back. But it never worked because I always try to be the front at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. So it didn't work, not because of this dynamic. It's just that she didn't want to continue the project. And I remember that was actually one frustration that led me to open NGC in March. Because I could actually, you know, when you have a project, you could extend it super long, right? You're like, oh yeah, I'm going to 6 months, mm-hmm. in 1 year, I have forever time, you know? Mm-hmm. But at that moment, this frustration, I remember, I was like, what? Again, someone dropping because their fear of imposter syndrome, whatever, because she thinks she's not enough, whatever. I'm like, I'm just fed up of this. I'm just going to do my own shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's the best thing to do and not wait for other people. What's your sign?
I'm curious. My sun sign is Scorpio.
Oh.
Yes, I'm a Libra rising and my moon is Sagittarius. So. are you into astrology?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a whole episode about it.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, I spoiled this already, but we're gonna. So.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yes, when this happened, I was just like, okay, no more. I don't want to partner with anybody because I always have to rely on them when they are available. When can we launch? When there are, you know, like I'm like, I'm ready. I want to mm-hmm. do it. You know, like the world needs me. I you know, I have this kind of like Superman cape, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I cannot wait for someone to say, yes, do it or not. I'm like, I'm going to say it. I'm doing it, you know? So that was what happened. I'm like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to do it in March. And let's see if no one comes. That's okay too. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. I'm actually honest with my own feeling, with the thing that I want to do. I'm not following anybody. It's not out of fear or validation. It's actually from the place where I think I enjoy. And actually, that's what the universe gave me, the feedback.
Yeah. Mm. It's so interesting because I have my own businesses as well, and I've done everything on my own. Like my whole life, I was always just doing everything on my own. And this time, I was like, I actually want to do it with someone. Mm-hmm. It's like the opposite because I've done everything so much mm-hmm. on my own. This was the one time that I actually wanted to do something with a partner.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting how it's like for me, life.
Exact same.
Yeah.
Because I've also done everything alone, and I would never see myself doing something with someone else again. But it just happened, and yeah it works so well, and it's just I would never expect that. Like when I was younger, I was like, I want to do everything alone. I was that type of person. So
yeah,
and it's yeah, for you it was the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because I'm a bit more community centered.
Exactly.
So yeah. I need people. I'm like, I do believe that everyone has their own gift, and if everyone brings their own gift into the table, we can create something very big mm-hmm. together. Yeah. I don't believe in one person thing, you know, mm-hmm. where you have to do everything, because you're not activating the gift of the other person. When you work together, you're actually allowing the other person to grow, mm-hmm. and actually it helps you to grow as well mm-hmm. as a person. So for me, I really believe in this, and this may be my community mindset mm-hmm. Comes in, you know, because I need other people because we need each other. Mm-hmm. In order to grow. Otherwise, everyone can do their own thing alone, you know? Yeah. And
I mean, it can get very exhausting doing it alone. Yeah. It can. It really can.
Yeah. I think there's pro and con. I'll say mm-hmm. working together, you need a good leader saying that, hey, we're not going to step into each other's toes. And I actually learned this in university only after all the team project, mm-hmm. you know? Because I had a very good team at the end of my study, where everyone was good in something. One person was good in presentation. One person was good in writing. One person was good to research information. And I was just so it was amazed by this. I'm like, no one wanted to be the boss. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I'm the boss in the thing that I'm good at. I'm the boss in research. Who wants to be the researcher here? No one. Yo, I'm the boss here, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. That's where I understood, actually, no, you don't need one person dictating everybody, like, you have to do this, you have to do that. Everyone knows what to do if you have a good team, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, if you have the same passion and you want to go for like the best results, it's in everybody's best interest.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's amazing.
You have to find the right people in your team. Exactly. That's the thing that is important.
That's the hardest part.
Yes.
Because when I speak for myself, me working together like on school or university, mostly it was me doing everything, other people slacking. So, yeah.
Exactly. If you find the people that they're motivated like you, you can go far together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a skill to choose the right person, right? It's not, well, you're next to me. Well, you're my partner, right?
I think what was so funny about us is like we're both so motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And we like took action immediately. I don't know. It just clicked.
Yeah. And we never have to tell each other like, what need to do this now or take care of that. It just goes, we divide the tasks and we ask each other for feedback if needed, but we know what to do. And it's not like I'm going to ask you like, did you already finish editing the episode? I don't think.
It's like we trust each other in what we know that what we each have to do. And we know that each person is going to do it without, you know, it's going to be done on time.
Yeah.
I just want to say that it needs a very high trust in this. As you said, you trust that your person will do their job and you don't have to micromanage this person. We don't need this kind of thing. And the fact that you do this together, it's, you know, like it might be meant to be to do this together, right? Now you're like, oh yeah, we just talk about it, about this podcast. It was just fun. But maybe it was already meant for you to do this together, and this could be a lesson, you know, if you see this in a spiritual way, the lessons of working with someone at the same level as you, committed, passionate about this, and you need to experience this because you both work alone. And this is the first time maybe you work together, you know? So this is maybe a lesson where like, actually it's nice to feel that supported by someone that motivated by the same vision as me.
Yeah.
Said very well. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. We definitely learned that lesson. It's like now we know that working together can be fun actually and not draining. So
yeah. Yeah.
So thank you, podcast. Alrighty. Last one to close it out. You ready? What advice do you have for people that are moving alone to a new place and that are terrified of meeting new people and going alone to events?
So first, it needs first a high awareness of what you like. You know, if you have no idea what you like, well, it's very hard because you're going to end up like, like everybody pleasing people, like going to events of your friends that you don't feel like going there. The reason why I said about self-awareness or what you like is you can already eliminate the events that you don't like and the thing that you like. For example, I'm a runner, you know, so naturally, normally I will go run. But now there's like a run club where I'm like, well, I can run and socialize and it's optional, you know. So I will start with something that you already like and you do it naturally without like any effort that much. And then if there's something that is like, yeah, you like, for example, you like to read. There's a book club, you know. There's also other geek reader as well. You're like, hey, that's already what I do. You're not forcing yourself. I will start with something that is like very natural, never like you. And anyways, when you go to events where people share the same passion, same hobby, it's easier to talk about the topic. You know, it's not like, oh, I like to party and I like to go run, for example. This is two different things, like two different mode. You have less stuff to talk about, we'll say. But if you, for example, you go to a run, hey, is your first run here? Yeah, like, oh, what is your pace? And You can chit chat like this, small talk, and then go deeper and deeper. For me, one thing that I don't know if you're against this, but some people, they really hate small talk, right? The small talk is, and I will tell you why small talk is essential. Actually, small talk is essential because that's the first thing that gives you like a hint of the other person's energy. If you ask this person a very deep question, like, I don't know, something a bit more personal. Why did you break up with your boyfriend? Something like this. Your past boyfriend, you know, like, well, we cannot go through this without like, just, I would just want to check your energy, you know? If you like dismiss me already, or you give me like a look of like, I don't want to talk with you, you're just so lame to me. I won't. For example, if you have this look sometimes, yeah, like you don't want to go deep with this person. So small talk, I would say, and I don't want people to be scared of this, is actually a way to just understand the other person's energy before going deep into something more. The thing is, like, if you small talk and you don't move on with another topic, that's a problem. But if you small talk and then you move on to like deeper and deeper, then that's a good small talk. Actually, we need this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens in my life where I ask, hey, where are you from? Argentina.
Okay. Oh, geez.
Yeah. You know?
All right. Yeah. Nice to meet you too. Yeah. Bye.
Exactly. Right? It's like, this is kind of small talk. Yeah. But like, well, me too. I'm from Canada. You know, you want to say something about you, but the other person didn't ask anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, see, small talk really is very important in that moment, because I know that's like, not you. Move on to something else, you know?
Was she Dutch?
I don't remember, but she gave me just like a very cold look of like, oh, I don't want to talk with you.
Oh,
you know,
geez.
So I don't take it personally. For me, I do understand that we don't have to fit with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that's small talk, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just not going to open up to her like, oh, yeah, I have this trauma in my life, you know?
Of course. Exactly. I've heard that some people like who are uncomfortable with small talk, and some people who don't know how to ask like follow-up questions, it's like because they're in their head and they're like constantly like overthinking or something like that. I don't know if that was her situation. But I've heard other people that are in that situation who don't like ask other questions because they're like, I don't know.
Maybe it's I will say conversation is a skill.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? It's like trying to be in the present moment, listening to their person, not trying to find a response immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like trying to understand this person in front of you, like what she's trying to say, or which kind of energy you're receiving from this person.
Mm-hmm.
All this kind of thing is not on the verbal, but a non-verbal level, you know? You can have a conversation with someone without talking that much. You feel there's like some kind of connection. You feel warm from this person.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like she's smiling at you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even like sometimes language barrier could affect the relationship. But if you feel that, hey, this person is open, is warm, welcoming, actually, you want to be this with this person, you know?
Yeah.
So conversation, talking is one thing, but your whole present, your energy is something else.
Yeah,
we'll say.
That's true.
Yeah, and you will feel it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to waste our time on small talking with people that don't want to talk with us.
For people who are afraid of like going to events because they are uncomfortable with small talking, I mean, you made a really good point. I think you just have to be present. Just be present and listen and
smile.
Yeah, smile, listen, smile, and be present. Because if you're really present, you're going to have questions or just be curious. I'm very curious, so I ask a lot of questions. But you just have to be curious and be present.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be scared.
No.
We're all new.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Thank you so much for joining us. I had a really good time.
Yeah, it was so
I
much
learned
fun.
A lot, and yeah, this was amazing. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Oh, yeah.
I forgot again.
I was just like, I cannot talk.
Oh my god, I love that.
But thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much.
much fun. And if you guys have any questions, or if you come to Lisbon and want to join one of the groups, it's Nomad Girls Club. And this is the founder.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I hope to see you soon. And yeah, if you come to Lisbon, join our events. Our events are for girls only.
True. Yeah, yeah, very important.
This is important.
If you're a guy, go to Digital Nomads meeting.
I would have to say that's one reason why I chose to go to your event, because it was just for girls only. Mm-hmm. And I was new here, and I was like, I don't feel like dealing with, you know,
guys,
men.
Sorry.
But no, I would have felt more comfortable just meeting women, especially just moving here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's the whole purpose of NGC, that I want this to be safe for women to meet other women.
Exactly.
And I do believe that a lot of women, they feel that they feel more safe with other women. I don't know. It's just like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the case for men. And also how we socialize is very different, you know. So I want to create an environment like this. So then people like you, when you come, you're like, hey, actually, I'm not ready yet to meet some weirdo. So...
So sorry, not sorry.
It's true.
So I just want to find my girls here, my bestie, and then if some weirdo happens, arrive, then
okay. We're ready for it.
Yeah. I have already my girls gang here.
Oh my gosh, love it. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay, well, you guys, thank you for watching. Remember to leave a comment, follow, and subscribe. And you can check out all of our bonus episodes that we've created on our Patreon. And
yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. And this is from Lisbon with love.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for spending this time with us.
And for listening to our stories, our laughs, and a few of our growing pains.
If this episode resonated with you, share it with someone who needs a little Lisbon love in their life.
And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It helps more hearts find our little corner of the world. From all of us,
from Lisbon with love.
What have you learned about yourself
from
starting your business?
Oh,
that's you. I was waiting for you.
I'm so intrigued. I'm like ready to hear it.
New blooper.
She's like,
okay, can I? I'm like, I cannot talk right now.
Oh my God, that's funny. Okay, bloopers.
There we go again.
Okay.